I have a question. If your story just reminded me of this. Okay, if you feel like, if that was you and you felt like somebody's not communicating with you enough, or like, what do the folks say, applying pressure, would you just like not say anything and just stop hitting them up? Or would you say something to them?
I feel like I would, say something in the sense of making my intentions pure. Like, hey, like if you're not in a place, you know, at the same place that I am to want to pursue something and want, you know, more communication, can you just let me know so I know how to move?
Okay, well, what about you?
If they're not communicating enough. Mm-hmm. I think I would say something. Maybe casually mention it. And just be like, hey, like, let me make sure I'm reading this right. Are you interested in me in this way? Because, actually, that just happened to me. Like, I've been just in, like, I'm trying to dip my toe. So, there's a guy I've been in communication with in, like, initially, I felt like it was just like the preliminary, hey, how you doing? Good morning. How's your day going? Kind of conversation. But I also felt like he was checking for me. And so I had to circle back like, hey, are you like trying to be my friend? Or like, are you interested? And he was like, no, I'm actually interested. And I was like, oh, okay. I was like, I just felt like, you know, communication is a little like just
blah.
Yeah. And so, you know, he kind of explained like, you know, hey, he actually called, which I thought was really nice. Wow. And so,
grown man.
Yeah, I think I would say something.
Yeah. Would you say something, friend?
Probably not. Okay, so typically I would say something. I'm the type to say something, but I've started to be the person that don't say nothing because I feel like if they wanted to, they would. And I don't like feeling like I'm constantly going out of my way. And I also don't want to be the female. Like, I'm not going to give a man the satisfaction because you're used to women chasing you. You're used to, like, you know, women being interested. And if you think I'm about to be that, it's not happening. It's just like, you know, so I just feel like, I don't know, something in me just feels like I'm being, like, pressed. You know what I'm saying? And I just want it to be natural. So why should I have to say something? Like, if you wanted to hit me up, if you want to talk to me, you would do it.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that because I do feel like it's pretty clear nowadays. Like, let me not say nowadays. It's pretty clear through the journey, I think, that we all have been on. Like, you can read if somebody's interested or not. And I feel like, again, the only reason that I would say something is if I'm interested and then like that. But if it's just a casual, like, I see the fallback, I'm like, cool. So, like I said, I got yelled at for not communicating enough, but we've never even had that conversation of where we both are and where we both want to be. Like, and I have always prefaced, the minute I meet a man, I don't care if this is forward or not, I always preface where I am in the moment. Like, if I'm in the moment to, okay, I want to take something casual, see where it goes. Or if I'm like, no, I want to be transparent. Like, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Yeah. Like, because I don't want room for that. I don't want room for, you know, the confusion. So when dude, like, low-key went off, I was like, didn't I already tell you that I'm not the type that can text all day and call all day and I'm going to be calling you every night. Hey, what you doing? And no, I'm going to hit you up when I think about you and that's dead ass it.
Yeah.
Now, if I wanted to be with you, I'm going to be like, hey, it's me again.
So, I just think it's really complicated. Like, I was just talking to somebody about this. Like, we don't have social skills anymore. Like, people don't know how to have face-to-face conversation. They don't know how to communicate because, not saying this was your thought process, but, like, your comment of, like, if they wanted to, they would, right? Like, I feel like there has been times where, like, I'll see something like that on Instagram, right? And I'm liking it for whatever the reason is at the moment. But then, like, you start to condition yourself to really believe that versus just asking, right? Because you can have this man on the other end also being like, I don't want to be overbearing. I don't know if she like me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to come off thirsty. So now I'm just in a space where I just be asking, like, hey, what's up? Like,
do you want to date me or not?
Like,
okay.
What's up?
Okay, then.
You know what I mean? So then that way, at least I can, I know if I ask versus me just assuming and I end up ruining a good thing because I didn't ask. And I'm just like, oh, well, if the nigga wanted to, if he would. Now, on the flip side of that, like, I had the conversation with the guy about the communication, right? And so now I'm just, like, having these internal conversations with myself. Like, let's just see where it goes. Like, don't expect conversation to be super deep right now. Or, like, just see what happens. Just see how it naturally progresses. I think I just posted that on Facebook. Like, I struggle with enjoying the process and letting the process be the process. I'm like, nigga, if you ain't asking me my deepest, darkest, like, what I think about this earth and God and all of that, then you don't like me. Like, but no, that's not the case. Sometimes you got to grow into that. And I think that's what we miss in, like, this whole relationship and dating thing is growing into and growing with somebody in ways. So, I don't know.
My issue is that a person who's not hitting you up enough, but then if they the first person watching your stories.
Oh, yeah. That's annoying.
That's why, like, I don't want to date anybody again that I'm following on social media. It's just annoying because it's just like, why are you doing that?
I heard the other day that, and this is probably going to stick with me for a while, the answer is always no until you ask.
That is very true.
And then to Brandy's point, my therapist told me, because I was talking about, you know, like, something similar probably a year ago, and I was like, I just don't want to feel like I'm, like, I know the person's busy and I know the person has, like, a lot going for them, and I don't want to be, I don't want to interrupt that, and I don't want to, you know, like, if it's, if the feeling's not the same, then I don't want to, you know, press. And she was like, you don't know that. You could be making their day by talking to them. And lo and behold, when I texted, they were like, oh, I'm so happy to hear from you. And I was like, I almost didn't text you because I thought I was being annoying.
You see how we people just be missing each other.
Yeah.
Now, once I put it out there that you're not communicating enough, or it's not to my satisfaction, and nothing changes, and there's not a little bit of effort, then it's absolutely
Yeah, you got to give people the room to, like, to be like, no.
Yeah, I was like, I'm not doing that shit.
Yeah, I had to learn.
I straight deleted somebody's number because I was not feeling
it. I'm weak. I had to learn probably a couple years ago. Like, I had to stop thinking for people and stop having conversations in my head with that person without ever having the conversation, if that makes sense. Like, I was already like, I know what they're gonna say. No, you do not. I know what they're gonna say. I know what they're gonna do. And I've had one person my entire life that is unintentionally, and I think I've told y'all this off air, unintentionally taught me how to enjoy the process, because that's just who he is. Like, he's just very much the man that takes every day for what it is and enjoys it. And when I tell you, that has been the favorite interaction I've ever had with somebody. Like, just like Brandy said, I feel like if somebody's not asking me, so why do you like the deep ocean blues, I'm like,
oh, you don't care. You don't care why I thought the painting was beautiful and I had the deep ocean blues. Like,
so I'm just learning a lot.
I do have another relationship question, but I don't even know what the show about. So
the show is going to be random questions. Like, I looked up shadow work prompts. Ooh. So this is just an open discussion. So go ahead, ask your question.
Okay. Have you guys have you ever been just, like, literally just friends with somebody that you're interested in?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
No, I've had somebody that was my friend that became interested in me.
Right. Yeah, but I can't fake it, because I'm going to be like, show me your... Never mind. No, that's weird. I wasn't going to be like, show me your dick. I was going to say something stupid like, show me your lips, like, because I make weird jokes like that. But, yeah, I couldn't hide that. I'd be like, nice outfit. And they'd be like, really? So, no, I have not.
Now I'm be scrolling through just to be sure.
Right. Hold on, let me check.
I've dealt with somebody, but then after that, we were friends. Mm-hmm. But that's different.
Yeah, because you're not still interested.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, no, I don't think so. Maybe I'm going to start doing that.
I feel like I just can't. I'm so bad at faking, like, my emotions and how I feel about someone that I'll just...
So there's a guy that... he's literally just my friend. Like, there's nothing to it. But there's interest there, right? But, like, we had the conversation that we wanted to just work on being friends.
That's cute.
And so putting that into practice has been, like, eye-opening for me. Mm. Like, just especially at this age, like, making or building a friendship with a man mm-hmm. at that, and, like, enjoying the process, which I don't do. So yeah. I'm just, like, in my head about it a lot. But thankfully, he's, like, a really good communicator. Mm-hmm. So, like, we can have those open conversations. But I just wonder.
Well, that's... Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I would say the hard part for me in dating is, like, the communication be so nasty. And, like, I feel like it would be for hard. It would be hard for me in that situation because once I can see you're a friend, you're in that box.
Yeah.
Because my friends that are males, I'm literally sharing shit with you that I wouldn't be so quick to tell somebody that I'm, like, interested in. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how are we supposed to, like, cross that friend boundary?
Now, okay, so when we had that conversation where, and it was him because, like, it's a whole story, which I'm not going to get on air about that. But, like, when we had the conversation and he was like, I want to work on building a friendship. Mm-hmm. And we had the conversation around that. It, like, it took the pressure off of me, to be completely honest. So, like, now when we talk, I'm like...
Easy breezy. So, when y'all met, it was like y'all both were interested, but y'all decided to be friends.
So...
I don't want to ask you too much.
You're fine. This part I'm not worried about. So we met a few years ago, right? And it was more so like, can I take you out? I'm interested, so forth and so on. We went out a couple times and it just didn't progress for one reason or another. But we always kind of like kept in contact here and there. And so over this past like, I'll say maybe 6 months or so, we just been like just in more frequent communication. And then... we had the conversation, like, once we kind of realized, like, conversation was picking up, what are we doing here? And so then he was like, I'm just interested in building a friendship right now. I'm like, perfect, me too. It's just, it's really taking the pressure off. So now I'm like, I feel comfortable. And granted, I'm not out here, like, dating all the time, but, like, I wouldn't even feel the way, like, if I was to go on a date to, like, have a conversation with him about it. Like, or if, like, just to tell him how it was or something like that. Or, so, that's the funny part is, like, or strange part navigating that, like, okay, so we said we were going to be just friends, so what does friendship look like? And me and my therapist was talking about it because she was like, if it doesn't work out, you've gained an actual friend.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, okay, when you put it like that, I feel like low-key yes, because I had a similar situation, and I still value that person so much to this day, because I had a similar situation where, like, we met each other, like, on some random stuff. We went on a date and we, cause there's clearly interest there. But I don't know how to navigate that either, because the longer we were around each other, the more there was interest and romance and all this stuff involved. But I feel like we were friends first and friends through it all. Like, we didn't really kind of double backwards, but I will say that scenario, like, my favorite thing is, like, when my friend turns into, like, my partner and it actually works out and becomes this beautiful, like, her. And I feel like that is the only reason I was able to live in the moment with that person. A, we have great, to this day, we have great communication of being like, this is where I am. This is what I can offer. Boom. And the other person just respects it because we never let ourselves get too deep. Like, the feelings are deep and, you know, we cared about each other and all that type of stuff. But I'm like, so I guess, yeah, that was us being friends and interested in one another, but there still was romance. There still was, like, clearly we like each other. Like, so I don't know. I've never... Yeah, like, I feel like, honestly, if I was interested in somebody and they weren't in me, I would take it upon myself, because I know I can't handle that, to just not be there with that person. Like, I can't, I mentally can't be around someone I'm interested in, watch them friend zone me 24/7.
Yeah.
And not even on the dynamic you're talking about or what I just explained. I mean, someone genuinely being like, no, baby, I was never interested in you, never will be. There's no way I could be like, okay, cool, so anyway, do you want me to buy you food? Like, no, I'd be like, heard what you said.
Yeah.
I'm an ex.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yikes.
Being an adult is ghetto.
It is so ghetto, and I'm just over it. And
y'all blessed to be here, but it's a struggle.
Yeah, it is a struggle. But before we move on to more of our questions... Welcome back, guys, to the Take Control Podcast.
Hey, y'all.
Darielle.
I'm Brandy.
He's Kim.
And we are here in 2024. We are a little late. It is February, but, you know, we needed some time to kind of reset, because technically the new year doesn't start till February, so.
Because it's Black History Month.
Facts. That's a good one.
Yep.
Yeah, as always, you can follow us on social media. Instagram is Take Control Podcast. Twitter is Take Control Pod. Email takecontrolpodcast@gmail.com. We are looking forward to making it through this year with you guys. And just working towards some goals and, you know, bigger and better.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Any updates?
No.
I guess an update, low key, I went to Houston for my cousin's birthday, and I love Houston. Like, I adore Atlanta and always have, and I feel like Houston is either equally the same or it's neck and neck, but I loved it. Absolutely loved it. And I've gone to Dallas and I like Dallas a lot, but I feel like I like the people more in Dallas, but the vibe more in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But Texas in general is a good ass time.
I hope to take a vacation with you guys this year.
We're doing it for our birthdays. Yes,
can we?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Come to Chicago for our birthdays.
Oh, I am going somewhere at the end of the month. That's my only update.
Where?
Just to Nashville.
Okay.
This was for the Houston, but that didn't come together. So, Nashville. I'm going to go down there and eat.
Mm-hmm.
And rest.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep.
Well, I just got back from vacation.
Where'd you go? How was that?
I went to Turks and Caicos.
Did you see Drake?
I did not. He's on tour.
With his.
But I saw his little boo thing.
Who's his boo thing?
Flocka.
Who was. No, let's not start. Never mind. I'll do my own research. Because yeah. I don't know who that is.
He didn't put her in a song. He all over her Instagram page.
This is Drake's girlfriend?
She live in Turks. And she works at the Noah's Ark place. Flocka. That he be always going to. You can look her up.
That's her Instagram name?
Mm-hmm. What the fuck? It should pop up once you start typing it in.
Flaka.
Let me see.
Is her name Colombiana?
No, that's not her. I'm going to show you.
Anyway, continue.
Hold on. Because I need y'all to know what I'm... It's Flaacka.a. It's her Instagram name.
Jesus Christ.
Flaa.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
Oh my God, yeah, wow, there they are.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. You actually recognized her?
Yeah.
I like that she just looks normal. She's a normal, like, look how cute. Oh, wow, yeah, 6 days ago you guys were there together.
Yeah.
What's that? Aw.
Anyway, so back to Turks. Turks was a time, but let me say this, and take this with a grain of salt, because it's not like I explored the entire island. I feel like Turks was underwhelming for all the hype it has.
Mm.
But with the people I went to, we had a great time.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it did rain our last day. So that kind of ruined everything. But, like, the place we stayed at was so nice. So, you know, we got to go to the pool and just have a good time. Also, I want to say this. When I was doing my research, a lot of people kept saying, like, don't go on the budget, blah, blah, blah. We made it work. Like, granted, we brought enough money. But when I say I didn't spend even half of what I took.
Really?
Because, like, we went and bought groceries and we cooked. And, you know, so it was like, and then the place we went to, we kind of bought, like, sections that came with, like, bottles and stuff. So, like, we made it work for us. Like, mm-hmm. We had a good time. I had a good time. Am I in a rush to go back? Absolutely not.
Mm. Okay.
But, yeah.
I just love the water. I am a sucker for that. Yeah, I'm a sucker for that water.
I found, it was on my Instagram. There's some place in Florida that has, like, island type looking
Sarasota.
Water. Really? It wasn't Sarasota. It's not none of the spots that I thought. It wasn't like a Destin or a Sarasota or anything on the Gulf side. I gotta look it up. I think I saved it, but when I tell you that water was given like Jamaica and Bahamas.
Really?
Yeah,
Jamaica's water's insane.
I wanted to go to Jamaica, but it's supposedly not safe to go there right now. A lot of sexual assaults happening.
Oh, I just realized my cousins and I were supposed to book a trip there by this month.
Yeah, because so, there is some festival going on Memorial Weekend that my friends are trying to go to.
We'd be going in like September. But then I'm also supposed to turn around and go to Hawaii a month after. So I'm like, I don't know.
Hawaii is expensive.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
But it is on the bucket list.
When are we going to Chicago?
I still don't know dates and stuff. But
end of June?
Because I know, yeah, probably. But as soon as I figure out dates, I'll let you know.
Okay.
Because, yeah, you're June 7th. Kenya's June 27th. And then, obviously, I'm July 8th. So, I feel like... And we have some Septembers. And then Maya's August. So, it makes sense. But
I'm trying to go on all the trips. I don't work this much for nothing, okay?
Okay, man. Yeah. I'm trying to learn that because I've had such a strict mindset because I used to get bitched at for even taking a weekend vacation. I'd hear about that for 2 fucking months. So I'm trying to learn. Even my boss now is like, girl, you deserve it. But I'm trying to learn. It's fine. It's okay. Mm-hmm. I still get like scared that somebody's going to be like, you're fired. And I'm like, why? You took a vacation. I'm like, yeah. Cool.
That's really awesome. Anyway, so I don't really have a topic today, but I was looking up some like shadow work prompts that I'm just going to pick a few. We could talk about it. Wrap it up. Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
So wait, what is shadow work for those who don't know?
Okay. Hold on. Looks like I pull that up. It says shadow work involves getting in touch with the parts of yourself that you've repressed.
I need that.
So, it's just like questions that make you think deeply.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Okay. Let me pick one. Okay, here's one. Do you try to hide any parts of yourself from others? That's the first part. And the second part is, why do you try to hide those parts of yourself?
The first thing that comes to mind for me is, which I don't know if I do this because I'm emotional natural, but I think I hide being as emotional as I can be because I've been bullied for it my whole life. And God and my therapist are pretty much the only people that are like, you know, it's okay, right? Like, you're allowed to be emotional and fine as long as you're handling it in a healthy way. But I've handled it in unhealthy ways in the past, and I've literally been bullied for it since I was young. So that's the first thing to me. I'm trying to think if there's any others.
I think that I hide probably how sensitive I actually am. Which is weird because a lot of stuff doesn't bother me. Or maybe I'm masking that. I don't know. But yeah, I would say probably how sensitive I am. I probably hide that. Probably the reason why. If I'm being honest, I don't know. Maybe a part of me attributes sensitivity to weakness. Yeah. I'll go with that.
Okay. The first thing that came to mind that I hide was probably like my soft, caring, emotional side. Because when a lot of people meet me, they think that I'm mean.
Mm.
And even some people that know me still think that I'm mean, but they know that's not literally like my entire like identity or personality or whatever.
Yeah.
They know, like, I'm a nice and I'm a caring person, but I just don't open up that side to everybody. Like, I truly have two sides, and this has nothing to do with Zodiacs. I just happen to be a Gemini. But it's just, like, there's literally two sides to me. There's just the one where, like, I have my wall up, and I'm just kind of, I keep it short and cute and whatever. But then it's, like, once you get past those barriers, and I'm just, like, 1,000% lover girl and yeah. soft and emotional and all that stuff. And I just don't show that to everybody. Why? I think I'm just scared to, like, well, for one, I have trust issues. I don't know why I have trust issues. I might know why, but I don't want to get into that. But I think I'm, like, afraid to kind of be, like, vulnerable with people that I just met, because it's, like, I have to get to know you. I have to know, like, do we mesh well? Do we get along? Can I trust you? Can I open up to you? And I'm just not going to be open and vulnerable with people right off the bat. Like, I feel like there's been times where I feel like I've overshared with people that I just met. But it's because I don't care if you know that or not. But, yeah. like, to really deep down get to know me and see me at my, like, worst or most softest space, it's not happening.
So, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Okay. What external experiences trigger a negative reaction within you?
What Wait, internal experiences?
What external experiences?
External experiences trigger a negative reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and it could be anything?
Yeah. And then it says, why do you think you react negatively to these experiences?
I know what my two biggest ones are. If I feel unstable or there's any inconsistency anywhere in my life, whether that's family, friends, romance, job, fitness, fashion, like it doesn't matter, I will spiral immediately, and I know why. It's because my childhood was never stable or consistent. Like, even my parents splitting, nobody ever said anything. It just happened. Mm-hmm. Nobody sat us down and said, here's what's going on. And the divorce was messy and all that type of stuff. So anytime I feel an ounce... That's part of the reason to jump back to the first conversation we had. I have to know. I have to know so I can create stability and consistency in my life. I need to know. Mm-hmm. So anytime I deal with that externally, it triggers me internally very badly.
Mm-hmm.
And another one is, like, kind of the conversation I was having with you earlier in our messages is, like, if I feel like someone's really, really done me dirty and they've never apologized... And I just see them acting like it doesn't care every day of their life. It really eats up at me. And mm-hmm. I know, again, that's childhood, because in both of my households, nobody discussed emotions. Nobody talked about emotions. Nobody, like, there was no mentally, emotionally healthy conversations being had, which I know is more common in our generation.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I would get done wrong by my parents and my brothers and my brother and my sister and brother are too young, but my oldest brother, and nobody would talk about it.
Yeah.
Like, the apology was 3 hours later. Are you hungry? And I'd be like, I just got my shit rocked 3 hours ago. Am I hungry? Bitch, I'm bleeding. What do you mean? Like, not literally, but yeah, that triggers me too, because, like, there were so many moments I can recall, and I barely remember my childhood, and there's so many moments I can recall where I'm like, I was treated like shit, and we all just acted like it didn't happen. To this day. That never happened. That's not real. Okay. It's really awesome. So yeah, that happened to me last week and I cried about it and I was fine the same day, but I did have a moments of disparity.
What's so crazy about that, hearing you say that, is how you could see something, right? Well, I don't want to say see it in a way as if like I'm taking away that it happened because I'm not, but something could have happened to you, but then somebody's version of that is totally different.
Mm-hmm. Like, I know, it blows my mind. Mm-hmm. It blows my mind. I'm like, cool, I guess. And to me, that's when people do that to people, it's invalidating, like, what they've gone through. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Your feelings are your feelings, whether we remember it the same way or not. I can't look at you and be like, that's bullshit. Mm-hmm. You know, I could be like, damn, I had a different perspective. I'm sorry. Yeah. But that's stuff like that I won't get from my parents and siblings and people that have done me wrong. It's, and again, that's their internal, I've had to learn, that's their internal work, not mine. So, yeah, that's not super fun for me.
I think not feeling or not being heard is extremely triggering for me. So, I know an example of that would be somebody talking over me. Like, my reaction to people talking over me, especially in conflict, is, like, ridiculous, for lack of a better term. I don't feel like I wasn't hurt as a child. I feel like because I'm naturally quiet and I observe, you know what I mean? It's especially in spaces where people like to carry on conversation or be the voice in the room. I tend to take a seat back and I like to listen more. So I don't know if that stems from, like, again, maybe an insecurity. I don't know, but yeah, if I feel like you're not hearing me, that upsets me really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think for me, it's feeling ignored. Mm. That will send me to a whole nother level. Like, I will turn batshit crazy. I hate being ignored. And I can't really pinpoint the first time I've experienced that as a child, but I know that it probably stems from my feelings not being validated as well as a child and just not being able to have a voice, because my mom was kind of the type of mom where it's just like, do what I say. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't get a say-so because what I'm saying is what's best and you just need to do it. Type of thing.
Real quick, do you think there's a difference between silent treatment and being ignored? Like, silent treatment, like, you're looking me in my face and I'm like this. Or do you think, like, being like, what? Do you know what I mean? Like, if they genuinely are looking at you, like, what triggers you more, I guess? Like, if you think they're genuinely looking at you like this.
Both.
Okay.
Both trigger me. But I feel like they both trigger me, but if you're dead ass looking at me. Oh my gosh. The fact that I've been through this in a relationship and with my own child. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Like, it's so hard to get over because it's like, even though I'm no longer in a relationship, like, my own child does this to me. Mm-hmm. And to literally stare me in my face and see me talking or see me crying or see me, like, being vulnerable and explaining myself, and you say absolutely nothing. It's just like, oh, hell no. I can't do it.
Mm-mm. So is it like any form of, like, ignoring? So, like, let's say in conflict, you send a text and you don't get a response. Mm-hmm. You're triggered.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm definitely triggered. But I've learned to kind of, like, talk myself down because that is, I can't control that. Like, I don't really know if they're really sleeping or busy. I don't know. And I know there's times that I've, like, unintentionally ignored something or forgot to respond, so it's like I tried to, like, talk myself off of a ledge, like, in that type of situation. But it does trigger me. It definitely triggers me.
I feel like that in general is just disrespectful. Like, that is such a form of disrespect to look somebody, and I've been through it too. Look, they, like you said, you're spilling your heart out, you're doing all these things, and they're just like this, and you're like, to me, that's the ultimate fuck you, I don't care.
Yeah.
To dead ass just no emotion, be like,
or to just
like, that's like
fucked up.
That's like sociopath Like,
or to literally.
So wait, because I got questions.
Yeah.
So let's say we're having a conversation, right? And you're. And I imagine this is through conflict. And I'm asking because I'm that person where I'm just, mm-hmm. I'm really going to look at you. But it's not because I'm ignoring you. It's because I'm listening
Brandy,
to you.
I mean, no, Brandy, like, no, I mean, like, I'm telling you, like, Brandy, you did me dirty. Like, yeah. You really hurt me to my core. Like, I need you to understand this really fucked me up. And no matter what, I could be here for an hour.
And I
you
and don't I say a word.
Okay, and you just okay. stare and you don't say shit.
Like, you don't even shrug. No, you don't even shrug. Like,
yeah. I'm going to punch you.
Yeah, you're not like, okay. You or don't you can shrug.
Be like, why did you do that? I just don't understand. They'll just be like this.
Yeah, like there's no shrug. There's no blinking damn
nothing.
Near.
Nothing.
Like, there's like
that. Got it. Okay. I've been in a situation kind of like that. I just got my shit and left because
I was But, like, you're not gonna send you off. You'd be like, what the fuck? Like, you really treat me like I'm an animal asking for food that you don't have in the pantry. Like this?
Yeah. One time, I've literally had a person say, stop all that crying shit. That don't mean shit. And just rolled over and went to bed. I was like, what the fuck? Yeah. This is... It's insanity.
I've had similar situations.
If I was already crazy before, but after that experience... Did a number on me.
What?
I told my therapist that I went through something.
Stop
like that.
All that crying shit. That don't mean nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah. Mm.
Or like you gonna cry now? Like I give a fuck.
Yeah.
What?
Yes. Yes. And I told my therapist like, and she was like, "Yeah, that's actually like really abusive in general for them to just sit there and ignore you, but to also now invalidate you and." Gaslight and downplay is even worse.
And you think you about to stay in this bed?
Yeah.
Oh, motherfucker, get up and get out.
You know, that's called you live and you learn, because I wish a nigga would now.
Okay.
I wish a nigga would.
But think, like think about that. I'm sorry.
You're fine.
Because that's like things that I hope people at this age wouldn't like deal with. But like that's something that like in my 20s, I would have been like, that's just how it is, right? Like, people argue. You get into it when you're in a relationship. That is dangerous.
No, this man was in his 30s.
Okay.
Again, more his work than has to do with me. But
that just speaks to, like, his level of emotional intelligence as to why you would say that to somebody.
Yep.
And then just roll over and go to sleep. Lord, I want these men to do the work. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, this
wasn't
nobody.
Stop all that crying shit. It don't mean nothing.
And people wonder why I cannot forgive. Because, anyways, moving on. Did I answer? I answered. Okay. This one says, how do I show up for others but fall short for myself?
I can go first. I will contribute my time, my talent, my money to people that I care about. To the point where it's almost like, should probably talk to your therapist about that. Like if somebody that I care about, if they need something or I'm showing up for them in some kind of way, like a celebration or something like that, like a lot of the times I'll put to the back of my mind whatever I got going on, right? Like I said, almost to the point where I do believe it might be unhealthy because I've spent money that I didn't need to spend to help somebody out or whatever the case may be. But like God has blessed me in such a way where everything comes back to me, you know what I mean? But in that moment I could have made a better decision to show up for myself. And what I'm able to contribute into, again, in terms of like my time or my talent or my money, it shouldn't be what deems how I feel about you anyway. You know what I mean? So if I can't do something, I can't do something. But I do that. Where, like, you know what I mean? I will help in any way I can if I care about you to my own detriment. Where, like, I don't even give myself that same energy.
Yeah.
So.
I was going to say, mine's the same as Brandy's, except I've been doing better over the last year at saying no. And only offering and extending if I feel comfortable enough or even physically or mentally enough to show up. Because then I'm going to give you half-ass anyway. But mine's the same as Brandy's, but I've been doing slightly better. had given me the same energy and less, like I've been equaling them out.
Mine is pretty much the same. I bend over backwards for people, give my last 2 cent, all of my energy, all of my time. But when it comes to doing the work for myself or putting the effort for myself, it's just not there. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. I would hope to overcome this one day.
Yeah.
But even simple things like, I don't know. Of course I'm going to take care of my kids, but it should be little stuff. Like, I don't want to spend money, but like, okay, my kids didn't eat. I'll go buy them food. Yep. But I literally will starve myself. Yep. I will not eat anything, but I'll go buy them food. Yep. Or like, I don't know. I just, this dumb shit.
I always use the laundry analogy for myself because, like, I would do any and everybody's laundry on the planet. Let it come to mind. No. But, they, like, I'm the same way, though. There was something that you said that made me think about, oh, the reason I know why I do it is I've always thought in my mind, like, I genuinely don't know their mental, their situation. So I don't take it lightly when somebody's asking me for something or, you know, asking for time, you know, money. I'm not a huge money giver, but time, money, that's because I didn't have none. All this stuff. And it's, to me, I'm like you said, if I don't eat, I know I can handle that. But say my cousin texts me and says, hey, I need $20 to get food.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that could have taken out of my mouth, but I'm like, I'll be all right if I eat a bag of chips tonight. I don't know if that's their first meal today. Yeah. I have no fucking idea. And I don't want to be like, why do you need $20? Did you just eat? Like, are you not eating? What's going on? Like, I'm not about to dig in you if you really need it. Because mm-hmm. I think the people in my life, too, know me well enough to know that, like, I know if they are asking for something and vice versa, we're not just dicking around. Like, nobody's like, oh, I really need you to show up. And they're just fucking off.
Yeah.
So I know that's why I do it, is because I'm like, damn, like, I don't want anybody to ever have to suffer because I couldn't show up, which I know is technically not my job, but that's exactly why I do it, because I know what I can handle. Yeah. Like, that's all right, I'll starve, I'll walk, I'll stay up all night, fine.
Which is interesting because, like, you say, like, because you know what you can handle, and I think the same, that's always my thought, like, oh, I'll be all right, like, yeah. But then it's like, am I really all right?
Like, it breaks up and you're like, oh,
cool. Can I really handle that? And so, for me, like, I've been, like, trying to sit with myself, like, is this a form of people-pleasing?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'll talk to my therapist about it. But for me, I think it comes from, like, what I'm going to say right now until I, for real, do the shadow work. I don't know. I always want people to feel like they're loved and they're mm-hmm. supported and they're celebrated, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, birthdays are big for me.
Yep.
Other people's milestones are big for me. Like, I always want people to feel like they're loved.
Yep.
And I don't, again, that's the surface level. It might be something deeper in that. But, like, I'm kind of realizing that, like, I was just telling my friend earlier, I'm like, a lot of people didn't grow up in, like, loving environments.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know how to be a friend. And they don't know how to be a partner. And they don't know how to be they don't know how to do any of these things. And it's almost mind-blowing to me because, that wasn't my experience growing up. Like I said, I felt loved. I felt seen. I felt hurt. And I know most of my traumatic experiences came from, like, my later teenage years and my early adulthood. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's getting tricky.
I think for me, like, I'm not going to say that I wasn't loved, but I grew up with a family that didn't know how to show it.
Mm-hmm.
And so that then, I do think I'm a people pleaser because I feel like, okay, I, on one hand, it's like I want to give people what I didn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other hand, it's just like, I want to do this because I want to feel worthy. I want to feel loved. Like, if I'm doing these things for you and I'm going that extra mile, they're going to be like, oh, she's a great person. Like, you know, mm-hmm. let me hold on to her. And it just, you know, I don't know. It's kind of fucked up. But then it's like, now that I'm older, I've learned, like, I need balance. Like,
yeah.
I have to learn to say no, too, because I can't. There's been too many times where I've overextended myself to the point where I have nothing left to give for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so there has to be some type of balance. Like,
I think mine is rooted slightly in childhood too, because I desire, this is weird though, because I'm picky about who's in my life and I hand select who's in my life because I want people that feel like medicine, even on both of our worst days. But I know that I want, even if I don't have a bunch of children, because I think I want like one or two kids and that's it, but I want to be the family host for holidays. I want to be, you know, where my friends and family can come. I want a tight, close-knit unit, and I think it's because I never saw it. I came from split families. Like, my parents split so early, I have zero memories of them together. So it's like, I want friends that feel like family, and I want family that feel like friends. And I want to be able to be like, you know, I'm hosting Thanksgiving. I'm hosting, you know, Christmas and all that stuff. I don't do it now because it's just too much work by myself to be feeding 50 people. You know what I mean? And then I don't enjoy it, and it'll make me not want to do it in the future. So I think mine is kind of rooted in childhood too, just wanting closer relationships with people. Because my brother and I were like this. Like, we're 18 months apart. People thought we was twins. Like, we locked in, and that was the closest thing I had until I hit like teenage adulthood and my friends and family started getting closer. So.
All right. The next question is, who hurt you the most and can you forgive them?
Who wants to go first? I can't answer that on air of the who. But the forgiving part, you know, we were talking about this today. I am trying my hardest, and I just realized from a triggering moment I experienced not too long ago, I just realized that I have not forgave them, and I thought I did. And I'm not going to.
That's fair.
Yep.
Do you want to go? Mm-hmm. Or are you still thinking?
I'm thinking through it. Okay, I don't know if I can name who just yet, only because I need to process that question, but I was thinking about this the other day. I'm like, if I really sat down and thought about every time somebody has hurt me, this was my literal thought the other day, or I felt betrayed or used or whatever the case may be. Like, have I ever really sat with those emotions and properly dealt with them, or did I compartmentalize them like I do most things, or maybe dealt with it for a little bit and again, life has to move on. I can't sit in the fact that you hurt me forever, and I can't put that on people that I meet and all that, so I gotta move forward. But I was really thinking about this, like, if I really sat and I thought about, like, failed relationships, failed friendships, the times my parents have let me down, like, could I, like, come up out of that? Or, like, would it, like, low-key take me out? And so I say all that to say, I'm trying to think through, yes, I have had people hurt me in unexpected ways. But then I think about it like, or did you hurt yourself? Because this person, you know what I mean? Like, they showed you who they were. And in situations where I went back and I seen it again and I seen it again and I seen it again, it shouldn't take you 10 times to see what you've seen once. You know what I mean? And so I was telling that to my therapist. I'm like, I'm kind of in this space now where, like, everything, I'm going inside first before I look at the external. I'm going internal before I look at the external world. So, like, I think I said this on the last show, main character syndrome a little bit. So it's just like, I don't know. I think maybe I've probably hurt me most.
That's so funny because I was going to say that. When I saw the question, I thought about it and two people came to mind, myself and I said my dad. Because I feel like my dad was the first person that was supposed to give me the example of like a man and how I should be treated and what I should look for. And but I feel like once I got older, it's kind of like I didn't have him to blame anymore. And so then I feel like that's where I come in, because like you said, people show you who they are. 9 times out of 10, I know what's up. Like, I have really good discernment. I know, like, I can feel the vibe from people. Sometimes people I never met. Or I know some people are not really good people, but I overlook it. And I just let it go. Let it slide. And forgive and forgive and forgive and forgive. And then it's just like, what the hell? Like, all of that could have been prevented. All of that should have been prevented. This person should have never been in my life. But yet here I am, still forgiving and letting them, you know, be around me. And it's just like, what are you doing? You're doing it to yourself at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to say, the situation I had, I actually was shocked at what happened to me, because it was a complete flip. So I genuinely, my discernment's really good too. I genuinely did not know that this person was capable of how they treated me until it was actually happening. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh. And I removed myself shortly after that. But I'm realizing, because I was talking to God about this, and I'm realizing I'm hurting myself. And I have always thought this way, even when I wasn't even in my mental journey. But I'm hurting myself by not forgiving this person. And that's why I thought I had, because I was I'm in such a, you know, a good moment, good place in my life. And I mean, my therapist said, she was like, I'm 50 years old. My brother said something 30 years later, and it triggered me like I was in the exact same moment. And she was like, that stuff can happen. So this is stuff that's happened years ago, and you get triggered recently. Yeah. So it's like.
But I don't think triggers mean that you don't forgive. And I could be wrong, but I don't know. But finish your thought.
It is for me, 100%. I'm only, from my experience, and this is me speaking for myself, I'm always triggered by something I have not forgiven. That's just me, though. That can be completely different for somebody else. If mm-hmm. I'm completely forgiven of something, that something could happen, I'd be like, okay, I did my work. The fuck? Cool.
Yeah. It don't trigger you.
No yeah, more. But right. If I'm not, and that's my first sign, and God told me this, that is my first sign to realize that I am not healed from it, and I don't forgive what happened, either, like you said, either because of something I did mm-hmm. or allowed to happen yeah. or something that was done to me.
Yeah. I feel like I what's the fucking word? Compartmentalized, yeah. Too. It's
such a complicated word.
It is. Yeah. So I feel like there is times like where I feel like I'm good. I'm over it. But then there's times where it's like I'm not. But I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, to go back to my question, because I didn't answer the second part. I feel like I have learned to forgive myself. As far as like my dad, to a certain extent, I feel like I've forgiven him. Like, I'm in a place where, like, I feel like I still have a guard up with him just because of the type of person that he is. And I feel like I will never get the conversation that I need to, like, fully forgive him. But I'm in a space where it's just, like, I've accepted him for who he is. So I just don't let it bother me, like, yeah. If that makes sense. So.
Yeah, that's kind of what my piece is. Like you said, I feel like I've forgiven up to a certain point. And a lot of the times, like I said earlier, what's jacking me up is the conversation or acting like it never happened. Because, I feel like that's what shocked me, because I'm like, I know there's forgiveness there, but it's not 100%. I feel like it's at 90 because of me being like, oh my God, what happened? And I feel like that's the big piece, is like it's almost there. But what's kind of blocking me is like these... Some people, I'm like my mom, I'm okay with the conversations we'll never have, and I've forgiven her and I'm over it. And then there's other people that I feel like have hurt me in adult life, where I'm like, not having that conversation is bothering me, and I need to be to where I am with my mom and be like, it doesn't bother me if we don't talk about it.
Yeah. Mm.
So that's my shadow work, is take my brain, God. Renew it, fix it.
So do y'all feel like you can forgive somebody, but then like you can be triggered by something later on?
Absolutely.
Yes.
For me personally, I don't think you ever get to a place where you're no longer triggered. Mm-hmm. I think you get to a place where you're able to manage your triggers. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can recognize, okay, this is triggering me. What is this bringing up in me, and why, and where is this coming from?
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting, because there would have been a time where I would have said my dad.
Mm-hmm.
And to not be in that place anymore feels really good, right? Mm-hmm. And so it takes me back to, again, just thinking, looking over like different scenarios and different situations where people have hurt me so many times. And it just, again, looking back at it in retrospect, where it's like, okay, I watched you do that to other people. Why did I think I was exempt? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, or, you know, you've showed me this behavior, this pattern multiple times. Why am I still upset with you? So that's why I'm just like, it's all internal for me at this point. Like, mm-hmm. and forgiving myself just looks like, okay, you made a mistake. So what does effort look like to do better next time?
Yeah.
Even if you don't get it 100% right the next time, just do better. Or when you see something that in relationship, when you see something that doesn't feel good, speak up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because if a person cares enough to bring ease to the situation, they'll do that. And then if they don't, that also tells you what you need to know. So, yeah.
Okay, my last question would be, what is something your younger self would be surprised about you now?
I think I've said this probably last show or the show before, but my boundaries, like, what's the little term people be saying today, staying on business? I do not fluctuate on my boundaries very easily like I used to, 100%.
Love that.
And my spiritual and mental work.
Love that.
Thank you so much.
I think my younger self would be surprised at this spiritual walk that we are on. And I think she would be surprised at how compassionate and empathetic and understanding she has become. And I'm still not that great at it, but I'm a lot better than what I used to be. Yes.
I think for me would be also boundaries and how much my self-love has improved.
Mm.
So much. Those are my two. So that's the end of our shadow work. Did you guys have any questions, current things that you guys want to discuss?
I have a question.
Yes.
This just kind of sprung up for me in this and then something else I was listening to. What is the area in your life where you feel like you trust God the least?
Probably my love life. Why, I don't know. But I feel like that's probably like the part of my spiritual journey that I don't talk to God a lot about, because I feel like if I'm in a relationship, then yeah, I'm praying about my relationship and talking to God about my relationship. But as a single woman, I don't, like, you know how some people are like, oh, I'm praying for my future husband or mm-hmm. the life that I, that's just not me.
Mm-hmm.
Not that it can't be, but it's just, it's kind of weird praying for somebody that I don't even know. Or like, to know that like everything that I'm talking to God about and I'm praying for, I'm going to get exactly that. Because when I see the options out here, I'm like, I have no faith.
I'm trying to figure out how to word mine, and it's been my theme of my discussion. What? Trusting that those who have hurt me, I don't know how to word it. Trusting that those who have hurt me, I don't want to say will be taken care of or will get their own, because that's not what I mean. I don't know how to put that into words, though. Trusting that those that have, like, really done me dirty and know they have and don't care. Like, trusting that God will do the work in them to change. I don't know how to make this make words. Like,
are you trying to say, like, basically you want them to get to a space where they realize what they did wrong? Or like,
no,
get their karma,
no,
or what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, because it's, I don't want anything negative or bad to happen to these people, and I actually pray positive things towards people that have hurt me. And it's just, I don't know if I trust in this lifetime if they will ever fully, fully grasp or understand why they shouldn't have treated either me that way or people that way or things like that in their life.
Yeah.
I feel like I know that that's possible, whether it's in this life or not. I know that God is going to make it them aware, like, oh, you really, like, hurt people in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've been made aware of the people that I've hurt and the things that I've done. And so it's hard to watch people not do the same, I guess. That
makes sense.
Messy jumbleness of words.
But it makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
I get what you're saying.
Thanks.
If I'm being honest, like really, really honest, I'm not sure I trust God at all.
Really?
With anything. But the reason why I say that is because, like, I've been processing this. This is, like, also bringing this up in therapy. I've been reading, and that's been helping. Like, I finally started my one chapter a day with the Bible. And I think because I'm a type A kind of person, I struggle with the idea of something being real and me believing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I've been asking myself, like, okay, so through conditioning and just what I was raised in, that is my belief system because that's all I know. But do I really know God, know him?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know you're real, right? And we have conversations and we talk and, like, we have friends. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? So I know Dario's real and I believe in Dario because she's real, right? But, like, I'm in that space now in my walk where I'm just like, well, God, like, I know this ain't what you intended, but can't you, like, step in on something? Like, yeah. Anything? Like, at all? So in order to combat that thought, I've picking up my Bible and I'm getting to know God so that I can believe in him and trust him as I say that I do. And I mean, I've had things happen in my life where I'm like, okay, I know that was God. Like, that was not me. That was not no human walking this earth. That was supernatural. But just building that muscle, like that really building that muscle and believing God and what he's going to do for my life. Like, I was talking to a friend the other day and just we're talking about God, and I was just like, I just admire you. Like, she's in the Bible, like, literal, thing by thing, and I'll share after we get off the podcast with you. But I'm just like, I love that for you. Mm-hmm. Like, I love that for you, and so I want to be that person.
Yeah. I think the part for me that kind of makes it difficult is, like, everything in this world just seems just so, such a lie. That is just like, how do I know this Bible was, like,
absolutely
really from God? Because you hear people say, like, oh, they rewrote it so many times or da da da. And I'm just like, how do I know this is not just like some old ancient ass person that
made
all this shit up?
People need to realize, too, that they translated the Bible into English. So they talked about this at my church last week. When you look at different versions of the Bible, some of these passages have 8 lines versus 4 because, again, they were translating it from a different language. And if one guy, same thing when you visit multiple churches, one guy is preaching from his own experience and relationship with God. Same with this guy, same with that guy, same with this guy. That's why it's important to handpick your own church, not because my aunt goes to my church, but I started there because of her, but I don't stay there because of her. Because I visited other churches, and I'm like, I don't know how people go there. I'm not going to name drop the church right now, but there's a church, big-ass church, and I don't understand how people go there. I've heard the guy talk, and I'm like, are we all really not seeing two, actually? So, yeah, I mean, you could think about the childhood telephone game.
Yeah.
Shit gets lost in translation. It just does. And that's why I always tell people, obviously, yes, the Bible's important, and it's the book that matters, but I have really press down on building my own relationship with God and having him answer me that way. Because when I have doubt, fear, whatever, yes, I can look up a passage in the Bible and I'm trusting the God that I now know to give me what I need from it. Mm-hmm. Not me going into it blindly being like, so what does it mean that, you know, did it like...
Yeah.
No, I want to know him first. So then when he's like, look up this passage and I read it and he's like, this is what it means to you. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean the same mm-hmm. thing to everyone else.
Yeah.
So I've emphasized heavy over the last 2 or 3 years having a personal relationship with him first. Like, I even stopped going to church intentionally for almost a year to build my relationship and my foundation with him versus listening to what my pastor says all the time and listening to what my aunt who has discernment has talked to God. Like, both my aunts were atheists and they found Jesus because Jesus was blatantly in their face like, hi.
Yeah.
Like, one of my aunts was pissed off. She's like, why am I seeing this everywhere? Stop. And he's like, no. Mm-hmm. Because, and that was probably her 30s. She found him, maybe both of them, 20s or 30s. But I, for me, it's in, I take the Bible with God, the God I know, his intent only. Yeah. I don't, like, whatever passage they talk about in church and things like that, yeah, there's bits and pieces that I'm like, damn, okay, that hits me. And I know God was like, that hit you intentionally. Doesn't hit everybody in the room. Mm-hmm. I could look at my aunt and be like, well, it happened to me. I forget, now that I'm thinking about it, I forget what it was. But I remember her, I remember looking at her being like, I said, when I tell you that was the exact dream I had last night and I looked around the room, nobody was fazed. I'm going to say something stupid. Like, he could have been talking about cheesecake. Mm-hmm. And I looked at her and was like, the exact scenario that he just described, everybody was thinking about the actual Cheesecake Factory. And I'm like, here's why it was significant. And she was like, no, that definitely was for you. And God just told me that because I don't think like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, again, I would have ignored that or interpreted the way that he was talking about if I didn't build that foundation with him, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. I feel like, although I do want to be one of those people that are in church heavy, literally every Sunday, Bible study, knowing the book, I couldn't tell you a scripture that I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, what makes my spiritual journey so, like, strong and my relationship with God so strong is because I spend the time to talk to him. Like, of course, I have, like, my little daily devotional, little Bible app and stuff like that. And if I don't go to church, I watch it on TV. So it's like I'm still getting that. But, like, I'm not at that point where I'm one of those people that are heavily in the book. Like, mm-hmm. I haven't read it front to back. I don't, like I said, I don't memorize scriptures. But, like, my relationship with him is so strong because of my faith and because it's like I have those one-on-one like conversations with him. I feel like everything else will kind of just come along my journey. So, yep.
Amazing. Thank you, ladies.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That's all you had?
Mm-hmm. That's all I had.
All right. Well, thank you guys for being here. Thank you guys for listening. And we will catch you guys in a few weeks. Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.